Good. Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for coming. My name is Vakhtang Asatryan. I'm part of a worldwide team based out of Melbourne, Australia. Thanks for coming to the Video Interop Masterclass. Sorry, can you put a little bit lower? It's too loud. Oh, okay. Can you hear me well, guys? Excellent. So we come across video practically in every hour conversation we have with partners and customers, and we thought it would be a good idea to bring this topic, to talk about it during an Ignite. Video interop in 1 hour, geez, that's, we're not going to give you end-to-end all the possible options. Rather than, we thought, we'll give you ideas, we'll give you some of the concepts and topics you need to think of, and at least you need to consider when you are thinking about bridging the different worlds of the videos together. So before jumping into the session, I would like to say that today in afternoon we've got architecture session, and Paul actually managed successfully to bring back everything we promised yesterday. There's a small Polycom device we would like to demo you. We'd like to run a broadcast meeting. Apparently there were some issues with internet connection. So please come in afternoon to the architecture session so we can demonstrate your broadcast meetings and some cool devices, actually, we're bringing on. And also, thanks to one of our partners and sponsors, Plantronics, we're going to be giving away the Voyager Focus headset. It's a wireless. It just came to the market. So this will give it away tomorrow. So it's kind of another incentive for you guys to come to the voice session. It's a voice session, something related to voice, right? So, yeah, we'll draw it tomorrow. We're just going to decide how we're going to draw it, either with a question or we're just going to randomly pick some numbers where people sit and we'll give it away. All right. Cool. So a lot of incentives to come today, afternoon, and tomorrow to the session. So we'll talk about standard-based video. What is it, a standard-based video? It's a very common question usually being asked by a lot of our customers. Do you support standards? We'll kind of delve a little bit into what is a standard. We'll talk about some of the video interop models, what we have seen. And most of the times, these are kind of, it's a very frequently models we come across. If you have actually been doing something different and we haven't seen it here, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just come and have a chat with us. I hope we actually will cover most of the cases. And we'll talk about our famous video interoperability server that has been released with Sky for Business Server. It's a new role, video interoperability server. We'll delve a little bit deeper into. So the content of this meeting is going to be around 300. We won't be going too much depth in technical. If you really would like to go very, very deep technical to the level of the packets and signaling, please come and see us around the hub area. We're more than happy to have a chat with you guys on those topics. So standard-based video interop. First of all, let's understand what is a VTC. It's a video teleconferencing unit. This traditional unit, I usually call it the TV with the camera, that you will come across practically every organization. All of us have it, right? Sitting in a room, hanging off the wall, TV and a camera. You would traditionally walk into the room. It will have some kind of dialing list. You use a remote control, usually scroll to the dialing list, either dial into the meeting, or dial into another point, or you are invited through that VTC into the video conferencing room. That's a kind of traditional thing. Link room system or surface hubs are not categorized as a VTC. So whenever we refer to the VTC, we usually refer them to the third-party devices. And in this presentation from the Microsoft perspective, we're talking about interop between Microsoft and external world. An external kind of devices that's going to be connecting to us. That's the kind of the motion I'm trying to drive. Some of the foundational concepts about what is a signaling. It's an exchange of information between the endpoints. Usually it's a server, client-to-server exchange of information where the clients will signal to the server their intentions of connecting either to the conference or connecting, trying to establish communications with another peer. Media, it is actually the concept of exchanging, sending a stream of video and voice. In case of the video session, it is usually two streams. It's a video stream and kind of voice stream goes in parallel to that. Peer-to-peer session, It's basically session established between two endpoints. And if it's a video session, usually you will have a video workload, but there are other workloads we're seeing customers are doing. They're establishing a voice. Your network may not be ready actually to do the full video. Bandwidth is not enough. The devices may actually may drop the video and keep the voice going. And also there is a concept of sharing. The sharing, what we're referring usually when you in case of the VTC, video teleconferencing unit, you plug your laptop and you stream your desktop. This is kind of, sharing is a very, very abused word, I would say, because there is no one definition of a sharing. There is a video streaming of the desktop. For example, that's what the Polycom devices do and Cisco devices do. They take your desktop, they just video stream to the other endpoints. There is a concept of application sharing and desktop sharing in the Microsoft world, where basically we use RDP protocol and we don't stream a desktop. We give you kind of two-way interaction where you can take over control. You can basically work on the various documents. So with the video streaming, there is no possibility to take over control of. It's always one connection. I take my desktop as a video stream and send it through. And the conferences, it is the case where you join somewhere, bridge usually, virtual meeting room hosted on some of the servers, and you participate in a multi-party multi-party conference call. Now, conference call may have two people, or conference call may have number of people, but in most of the cases, conference assumes more than two people sitting on a bridge. Again, all those workloads are available. You can do voice only if you're dialing from the mobile. Other people who have better network connection may actually join the conference using a video. Excuse me. And you also can start doing a sharing in a conference. So again, when you're thinking about the conference context, you need to think, what is that sharing? Am I streaming my desktop, or do I really want to start actually working on the application, collaborating with people, right? So be a little bit careful with the concept of sharing. Talking about a codecs, I'll start probably with the bottom one, with the RT Video. RT Video is a Microsoft proprietary codec, yes. We have been supporting RT Video since, Jesus, LCS days. OCS 2007 R2 2010, RT Video was the default codec for them. Every conference would use RT Video running on the Microsoft 2010 server, for example, link. And hence, yes, those days where people were referring, you have proprietary codec? We never hided it. Yes, we had proprietary. From 2013 server and with Skype for Business server, H.264 SVC become a default codec for us, for video conferencing, so and for peer-to-peer sessions, all the clients support H.264 SVC. And for RTV, still supported by the clients for backward compatibility. In the case, if I'm Skype for Business client, talking to the Link 2010 client who cannot do SVC, I will be ultimately using the RT Video so I can communicate. Or if I'm joining a session on a Link 2013 server, as a Skype for Business client, I will use SVC codec. But if 2010 client will join the same conference, basically, the Link 2013 or Skype for Business server will give them video as an RTV codec. H.264 is a standard, and it's a very common question. I still come across the cases where people ask, oh, you guys at Microsoft don't follow the standards. We do. H.264 is a standard. The question, which is sometimes confused some people, how much of that standard each vendor have implemented? H.264 has basically advanced video codec, AVC. And SVC is an extension of that advanced video codec. And SVC has various modes of operation, various modes. It has temporal scaling, it has spatial scaling. Number of those standards and mode of operation has been defined under the standard. It's up to vendors to pick up those specifications and implement. And I can tell you, so far right now, again, if Polycom guys in the room, let me know if I'm wrong, I haven't seen any vendor they take the whole stack of the 264 and implement it end-to-end using the all possible modes of operation that inside, right? So we have in Microsoft implemented UC mode 1 only of the H.264 SVC with the temporal scaling. That's the only thing we have implemented so far today, right? We'll delve a little bit deeper into that and see what does that mean. So, as I mentioned, advanced video codec is the basic codec, and SVC is an extension of that. And what SVC does, especially that mode one, the temporal scaling capability, it gives us capability to offload, first of all, the processing for the conferences of the server, and offload that processing to the endpoint, which means the conferencing server will be requesting endpoint to encode and give me as many streams as I need to support people in my different endpoints with the different resolutions and different frame rates. So the conferencing server, no need to do any more kind of hard work of encoding streams, someone 360p, 720p, 180p, 30 frames per second, 15 frames. Conferencing server, no need to do anything. If all these various clients actually with different capabilities join a conference call, the conferencing server just gonna tell the endpoint who is active one transmitting, it will say, can you give me the different codecs? So that the concept of H.264 SVC. That's a capability we actually built into the codec itself. So what does it mean, actually, how actually it works? So when we're talking about a video, where there's two things you need to be aware of. It is a framing, it is a resolution. So the capability of the temporal scaling, it provides the endpoint, it dictates, it specifies that the endpoint can encode up to two frame rates in one stream. That means if I need a 30 frame per second to give it to the user, again, it's not mandatory speaker gives, it's actually receiver dictates what kind of capability I need, and then speaker will encode the capability that receiver needs. So if I need 30 frames per second, because temporal scaling allowing me to have up to two frame rates in a stream, it's more than likely it will have two layers, which is a base layer and enhanced layer, and it basically will encode 15 frames per second into those two layers. Once those two layers reach the conferencing server, and the conferencing server needs to give it 30 frames per second to the client, it won't touch that stream, it's just gonna pass it through. But if someone else is joining with a 15 frame per second request, what actually the conferencing server need to do? It just need to strip off the enhanced layer and give only the base layer to the client. So all that capability has been built to take off all these big requirements to having a large CPU on the conferencing server. Hence, from Link 2013 onwards, we do not support standalone conferencing server. Conferencing server in the Link world always lives on the front-end server, right? Because of this capability is in place. Let's see how basically does it work. If the laptop requests 30 frames, again, this is not desktop streaming and you know what, take it or leave it. No, the laptop will request from the desktop capability of 30 frames per second. And because the desktop now is under the H.264 SVC temporal scaling capability, I can encode two frames per stream. It will encode base and enhanced layer as a 15 frames per second, send it to the conferencing server, and conferencing server basically just pass the stream to the laptop user who will receive 30 frames per second. What will happen if another tablet joins and it will request capability only to have a 15 frame per second? Basically, the conferencing server just very simply will strip off the enhanced layer and will provide the base layer stream back to the laptop user. Now, we, under the specification, support 7.5 frames per second, 15 and 30. It's a very, very rare to see 7.5 frames per second request, but theoretically it's possible. So in case if a 7.5 frames per second request will come in, now, remember, we said we do not allow three, basically, encoding channels. We only allow two frame rates in to encode it into one stream. So what we will do, the conferencing server will ask the endpoint to create another stream with a 7.5 frames per second encoding rate. It will fire up a stream, the stream will come, and then the conferencing server will provide the mobile with the rate that actually mobile is in case. Now, here's a very common question comes, what about the network? What about capability? Yes, all taken in case. If you have a very heavy call admission control rules in place, if the device is not capable actually to providing that kind of
bandwidth, it's not allowed to do the video calls. All these rules still applicable to the case, right? So what will happen if the laptop user leaves the call? Actually, the conferencing server will realize that I can give away as serve 7.5 and 15, and it will ask the desktop user actually to stop sending them that 15 and 15, 30 frames per second rate, right? So this is all done in a very, very dynamic way. Can we control it? No. It's the only thing we can control if we actually put various call admission control rules in place, and before establishing a call and sending stream, the desktop will know I can only squeeze 128K of video call. That's actually going to define what kind of capabilities you will have. That will dictate how much of the bandwidth you can send through. So similar functionality exists in the specification of H.264. One of the modes of operation regarding the resolution, but we haven't implemented it. What we have implemented, the capability to do the simulcast. That means from the resolution perspective, every client will request conferencing server to give them the resolution they can do. Now, it doesn't mean that the desktop will be forced to do it by a number of reasons. It could not have enough bandwidth, or it's possibly the processor is very busy on the desktop and it just doesn't have resources to fire up another resolution stream. So it may bring that resolution stream, but until that moment, if you have got very heavy call admission control rules in place, what will happen, everyone will live with 180p streams. And now, what user experience is going to be, if I'm streaming 180p on a big laptop and I just make the video big onto my whole page, people are going to say, oh, this product is bad. I've got a bad kind of quality. But it's not the product bad. It's actually the condition in the network or condition of the device that actually going to encode dictates that kind of capability, that stream. All right? So that's called simulcast. So we will dictate to the desktop to start sending multiple streams simultaneously. And this is where it is very important whenever you bring a video into your organization, think about bandwidth first, think about network first, right? It will have immediate effect on your network. It will have an impact on your network. You really need to know what you're bringing into your network, right? So, interoperability models, right? Why do we need to interop? Because the world is really different. We have a lot of Cisco infrastructure sitting in place within our customer networks, Polycom infrastructure, people deploying Link. There's a lot of web-based services exist. There's a Pexip, Icano, WebEx, BlueJeans. And our customers sometimes are confused. They're like, what do I do? I mean, I want to be collaborative. I want my users to use various capabilities. I'm not ready to disconnect and completely go into the Skype world. What is the best way to integrate all this together? So we'll explore it. We'll try to explore it. We'll try to open up the conversation with you guys, what kind of thing you need to do. And we are all technical, right? We love technology. We architects, we dig in, we start looking into the options, into the capabilities. We love our technology, but that's actually the wrong path. What you really need to do, you need to start from the user requirements, which we usually don't do in most of the cases, at least I come across. We need to think about the users. We need to think how users are going to be consuming technology, which is a very hard thing to do. We need to even go to the point where we need to go very, very deep and decide, review how you're going to start your meeting, where you're going to be placing your calls, how you're going to initiate. You need to look into all these scenarios, and once you understand the usage and consumption, that will help you to identify what is the best interop model for you. So, assuming you understand how your user is going to be consuming technology, there's basically two ways to integrate, either native integration or third-party integration. Very interesting observation. Although we're speaking about a video integration, in some cases, the sharing was the kind of a decision point where actually customers have decided to go one way or another. Video was not the capability that actually was driving them towards very interesting, that kind of integration model. So sharing is a kind of always have in the back of your mind. It's great, I will do video, I'll make them all together, but sharing is not really part of video, but it have in some cases very heavy influence on which way you will go. So Skype network, native integration, I think we spoke about this. What we have done to get the Skype consumer client talk to this Skype for business server client, we have actually taken H.264 video codecs, we put into the Skype consumer client. We have taken all the iStand turn capability, we've put into consumer client. And that means now signaling still stays coming through the Skype network, through the Office 365 integration, through your Edge. But video now will travel either directly between desktop client and your Skype consumer client and Skype for business client. Or if you are behind the firewalls and NATs, it's either going to use a standard addresses or turn addresses, which means it can actually talk to your Edge server, and Edge will basically relay your voice and video sessions back to your client, right? That's an integration available. There's tons of documents being available online, how you do it. You just need to integrate to the Skype network. And the only condition is the consumer need to be on the latest client. If they are not on the latest client, that means they do not support H.264 video and iStand turn. That means you cannot talk to them directly. Okay? Direct registration. Direct registration was driven mainly by the functionality where a lot of customers have equipment, and equipment manufacturer actually implemented our stack. Which means in most of the cases, we've seen a lot of Polycom deployments coming with direct integration because Polycom have taken all Microsoft stack and actually they wrote into the cameras. So if you have a HDX camera, it can natively register to link. And then you treat that camera as just another link endpoint. It can participate in the point-to-point calls. It can participate in the conference calls. It supports stand-iced turn. It actually can talk to the edge. It, you can drag and drop. It's, the full capability is there. The only kind of interesting point is coming to the sharing because it doesn't support RDP protocol. So the sharing will not be available. But again, I reserve it back to the option that which direction is a sharing. If I'm in a link meeting, because in this case, what really matters, my conference running on a Skype for Business server, and if I share my desktop, everyone in the Skype for Business clients will receive a sharing. The device, which is compatible with TC, will not receive it. But if I plug my laptop into that device and I initiate desktop streaming from my VTC device, people will receive it as a video in a Skype call, right? So you need to, again, think about this. Is this the way it's going to be consumed, right? That's very important. From the vendors, Polycom, so far I have seen they actually implemented all the conferencing protocols and registrations. We see if there's no investment in video bridges on the other side, you can basically bring that infrastructure and register to link. From a third-party integration, there's a couple of ways you can integrate. First of all, you can integrate through the video gateways. That means you've got a bunch of video terminals and you've got a video gateways. Most of the time, they're calling each other. It is an existing investment. They have an investment into the virtual meeting rooms and bridges on the video end. They don't have a stack. They cannot directly integrate to Skype for Business or Link 2013. You can integrate them together, putting it through SIP trunks. This is probably one of the ways we integrate with the call managers, for example, using the VCS, an advanced video gateway for decoding. It comes with a very specific limitations. The fact is it cannot actually be dropped, the endpoint cannot be dropped into your Skype for Business meetings because it doesn't support the concept of the protocols. It cannot receive a content from Skype for Business, which is most of the cases this is going to be point-to-point calls. And again, sharing is the case if you come to the VTC, plug your laptop. If the VTC has a capability to desktop stream your laptop, that will be visible as a video to the endpoints on the link end. That's the only sharing capability will be there. And some enhancements actually we're bringing in with the video interoperability server, which I'll talk a little bit later during a session. So very simple, VTCs with the gateways, no investment in a bridge. You can bring them together. What really matters, how do you expect users to use the system? Are they going to be using point-to-point calls? Or then the question you should ask, what if you create a link meeting or Skype for Business server meeting? How actually those VTCs going to be coming, connecting, joining those meetings? Then another case is where organizations invested in their bridges on the video end. So they've got video terminals and they've got bridges, RMXs in the Polycom world, old Kodian bridges on a Thunberg world, and you need to integrate them together. From the signaling perspective, yes, everything stays clean, right? Video world lives by itself. The device is registered to their endpoints. And on a Skype for Business world, devices registered to Skype for Business. What really then interestingly important here, you have got two environments on a Skype for Business and third-party MCU where you create and host your meetings, right? So what you really need to put yourself into position is, how am I going to consume a service? Am I going to have users joining link meetings? Or am I going to have users joining my VMRs, let's say, on a video bridge? And once they join, am I going to give them two plugins in their Outlook, for example, to completely confuse them, right? So these are all the questions where you need to ask yourself before you actually going and trying to select some of the options. So let's have a look in case if you are using a conference call hosted on a Skype for Business server. Look, there's no change to the Skype for Business operation. Clients basically will join the Skype for Business session. The video terminal equipments, they will join the meeting if the video is actually supporting the stack. In case of a Polycom, yes, if you're running a virtual meeting room, because the Polycom completely implemented the C3P, it's a protocol for conferencing, you can drag the Polycom VMR into the Skype for Business meeting. If the VMR is the or MCU doesn't support the conferencing protocol, you cannot join them to the meeting. But you can do point-to-point calls, right? And if the meeting is hosted on a third-party bridge, again, if most of the cases we have seen clients on the Skype for Business world, they can join that bridge. There is no problem. The problem comes of how you're going to get users now. There is a conference. And there is a conference. And if you walk into the VMR, you just walk into the meeting room, you fire up a virtual meeting, how are you going to let the Skype for Business people know, actually, I am in this room? You know what I mean? You're kind of disrupting this user experience. It's not as smooth. You really need to know what you're doing. It kind of goes against the whole concept that we're trying to promote of users shouldn't be really thinking what they're doing or how I do it. Users really should be thinking, I'm in a meeting, I come here to collaborate and work, not actually how I plug things together. So what really been done by Polycom, they basically enhanced this capability. First of all, they've deployed all our codecs. They deployed our protocols. They're fully supporting a conferencing. And also what they have done, they brought this concept of a smart cascading, where we are not breaking really Skype for Business the meeting experience. So the Skype for Business users, they will generate their Skype for Business meetings. They'll join the Skype for Business meetings on the Skype for Business server. And at the same time, the VTCs will join those meetings on their virtual meeting rooms, because Polycom then will take those video and audio and desktop sharing out of the link meeting and will drag it and bring into the Polycom world. Right? So if you want to understand a little bit deeper actually what is happening on the Polycom world, we've got Polycom stand. Please go and have a look. We've got some bright engineers there. They'll be able to go into very deep details on actually how the smart cascading works. So you have an option. Do we say this is one of the best options? This is an option for you to consider. Again, it has great capability because most of the workloads, practically all the workloads are working. You can share desktop. It will be visible to the VTCs. You can create one meeting. Experience is that kind of seamless experience for user. And probably the final last one is actually the services. And this is very interesting one, that we have seen, again, the cases where Once I start thinking about integration, all these options of what I can do, what I cannot do, sharing is not available, we've seen those gaps coming on the market. So we've seen the vendors like Pexip, Iconon, BlueJeans, they're coming with a very interesting value propositions where actually they, in some instances, they're acting as a gateway. In some instances, they're acting as the virtual meeting room, like a virtual MCU. And in some instances, they basically taking the sessions by themselves and actually bringing into the link meeting. The latest software allows to do that. So they have a capability, they have a place, especially when you would like to integrate. So you should not be completely writing them off. They have a solution, so speak with those guys, they will give you. But one thing I would say, keep very important, understand, it's what you do today, it's great, but where it's going to take you, that's very important, right? If I bring those bridges, it's great, it will deliver me today functionality, but what is the roadmap? What is the capability? If I invest, the last thing you want to do, really invest heavily into the infrastructure, and then 2 years later, you end up at the same place where you are, thinking how I'm going to bring those pieces to work together, right? So it's very important. And so far, I believe those are the three ones, the only ones that actually can bridge into the Skype for Business online meetings. So none of the ways you can bring your existing infrastructure into Skype for Business online meetings unless you go to those services today, as of today. WebEx, we do not integrate with them. That's kind of, it's one world or another. You cannot bridge those worlds. I haven't seen anyone even trying to do. You know, there is always said there's a Microsoft way and there is something that can be done. I even haven't seen that in a can be done world, integrating with the WebEx. Very hard. So you live in one or another. So this gives you really the kind of the views that you can integrate in a variety of the ways. And honestly, we thought, should we go very, very deep into the flows? Yes, but we will need probably a couple of days. Your guys' attention here, locked in the room when we go through the flow. So come and see us if you have a very specific case or very specific scenario. We'll be more than happy to go deep into the flows of who goes where and what is available, right? Some of the stuff we want to talk is the video interoperability server. Who have heard about VIS server? Okay, there's a bit of knowledge. Have to be careful now. So we've had a lot of requests from our customers saying, great, I have this legacy environment sitting on my floor. I don't want to invest anymore into that. I want to come to the Skype for Business. That's just a driver, right? That's a choice they make. But we had a lot of requests from customers telling us, I don't want to invest into anything else. I don't want to bring third party. I don't want to rely on anyone else. Why can't you guys support it natively? We had this conversation at least for a year. And we come up with a VIS server that actually will allow you to integrate to your VTC devices and bring them communications back into the Skype for Business world. What it does, it supports peer-to-peer calls. Again, now I have to be careful. From the VTC into Skype for Business world. That's the only direction it's supported today. Of course, we have plans to enhance it, but as of today, the call has to be initiated on a VTC device. It also supports capability to bring the VTCs into the conference call via VTCs dialing into the conference call. Again, you cannot just go and drop and drop. I probably should move into another one. There's more stuff, more slides of what actually we can do than the slides we can do. We cannot do presence. We will not drive the VTC presence into the Skype world. We do not support content sharing. That's as of today, right? We do not allow you to go and join online meetings or go and bring some federated contacts. Because you federate with someone else, you can do the federated contact connection to your Skype for Business client. It doesn't mean the VTC can actually go and talk to that organization. And no external VTCs, that means you cannot kind of bring edge to proxy some of the media sessions. It has to be by some way routable, right? It has to be, which means it dictates more likely Skype for Business and VTC has to be within a building, within a floor, whatever, inside your network. Also, the It does not provide any RTV video back compatibility, which means if someone is doing RTV, the VIS server will not be decoding RTV into advanced video codec. It will not be, as I mentioned, it will not be kind of converting the C3P. This is CCCP is a conferencing protocol that's run on Skype for Business server. And it will not convert that protocol. That means you cannot drag VTC into conference call. Is the VTC have to call into the conference, right? No PSTN and limited some standard based. Well, yes, we release it, right? Someone would ask a question, why you release it with some minimal function? Because we had a big demand from our customers to actually to have something there, right? So we release it as a first go. So some of us kind of compare the VTC to the mediation server. The way you had the mediation server for the voice world, where the mediation server will bridge a voice PSTN, PAB access with the link, it's a very similar. It's a kind of a video mediation server. I can't say it. So it's not mediation video, but it acts like that, right? Bring anything which is external into and bridge back into the Skype for Business world. It has kind of two stacks. One of them is a media stack, and one of them is a signaling stack. So it will take H.264 AVC format and convert into SVC. That's the only conversion it supports. If you have five people in the conference room and you've got this Brady Bunch in the conference, it's not going to push all these five down. It only will push the active speaker down to the VTC world in a conference. And VIS server will do all the work that we've been talking about, H.264 temporal scale. It will take it, and based whatever conference server will dictate, I need a different resolution, I need a different frame rates. Basically, the VIS server is a processor hungry, right? It will do, it needs resources to do all this decoding and reframing, encoding, and sending all these streams basically down to the conferencing server. And it's actually a very interesting observation. All these various streams, all these capabilities come only when you're talking about the conferencing server. Because if two of us speaking, it's like, give me A, and you'll give me A, right? There's nothing multiple coming in. I either can do something or can't. So it's kind of acting as an intermediary device for this kind of specific topology, I would say, right? This is, I would say, take it as a basic. That's where it is today. Of course, we are working. We're doing a lot of work at the background. Well, we keep hammering product guys. It's time to kind of release a bit of roadmap. Well, hopefully it come a little bit later on actually what we are bringing. So as you can see, that's kind of what it is. And very interesting thing that Microsoft tests directly the modes which VTCs actually can talk to us. We do it because we only support this configuration with VIS. If you come and say, I've got something else, well, it cannot work. Well, you may be able to make it working, right? But it's not supported. When we say it's not supported, it means we haven't tested it, we haven't run it, we don't know how it will behave. And when you have a problem, we don't know how to help you. Well, we'll try to help you, but it's nothing has been done. So it's mostly been designed to interoperate with Cisco Unified Communication Manager and with very specific end devices. The concept is end devices, VTCs, always registers with a Cisco Unified Communication Manager. We do not support direct registration, not in this release, of the endpoints. We do not support that. So some of the basic flows, if the VTC is registered to the communications manager, if they want to dial another link endpoint, it's pretty simple. I want to dial, signaling goes, the exchange capabilities, bang, and they will establish a video, and the video stream will come from the video, a VTC device, to VIS server. It will encode it into SVC. If the SVC has capability, we'll send it through. Simple. With the conferencing, is a little bit different. The first leg of a conference will going to be, you need to talk to the conferencing auto-attendant. Because I need to know which conferencing you want to dial into, right? Because the Cisco endpoint cannot parse our URL for conferencing. Polycom can. You can actually click on the URL which is a conference, and the HDX camera can jump into the call. But on the Cisco world, on Tamberg world, it's not. So the first thing when you try to join, basically it will get you into the conferencing auto attendant, but the auto attendant will ask you, please enter the conference number. You pinch the conference number, and then the VTC will be joined into the conference. So as you can see, this is why we're not saying you can't drag and drop someone. It's the process of getting VTC into the conference call, right? So what will happen if you have interoperability of 2000? You are in the process of migration. You've got 12 servers in your pool. You are kind of bringing 2013 into Sky for Business. And what if you are running a conference on a Link 2013 server? Because remember, the pool, the server where user is hosted, that's the pool and server going to host the conference. So what we support, the VIS server, basically, the signaling still endpoint is going to be the Sky for Business, because with Sky for Business, that's where the logic lives. But it can actually decode and encode the SVC session and send it, basically, to the conference that's hosted on Link Server 2013. So if you have 2013 server, it's fine. There is no issue in this case. Where the issue comes is on the client side. Let's say you've got a Skype for Business conference and a VTC device joined the conference. Everything is working well. AVC being encoded into SVC, and they all receiving SVC, which means the active speaker one, this guy will receive one stream who is an active speaker. And the case where you have got still XP desktop, the only client you're going to have with XP desktop is 2010. And what if the 2010 client joins a call? Let's see what's happening. So the 2010 client doesn't support SVC. It will join a call and will say, I can only do RT video. Great. That means the Sky for Business server will dictate every other Sky for Business client to start decoding in RT video. Give me RT video because I've got someone just joined with RT video. That actually changes dynamics a little bit. So this guy, Link 2010 client, will start sending and receiving as an RT video because it natively can do. The Sky for Business client will start sending additional RT video stream. That RT video stream will be delivered to Link 2010 client. And it will also keep decoding as SVC stream. It will be sent to the VIS, and VIS will encode to AVC, and VTC will receive an SVC stream. On the mobiles, we actually will switch the SVC conversation we had before into RT video default codec. So it will send and receive RT video, and it only will receive SVC streams. It will not send SVC streams. I think the interesting point is here that in case if the Link 2010 client is an active speaker, your VTC device is not going to receive that video stream. Right? Again, you need to be aware of this kind of capability when you go. Again, it's going to be a question, do I want it? I don't know. Is this what my user expected? Maybe I have got only 10 users with XP. Okay, I'll just cheaper to go and buy laptops rather than doing all hopes of integration. You know, all this question comes into mind, which kind of outside of the technology. We're really coming to the point where on the technology side, there are practically no barriers. We can build things. We can integrate stuff. We can put the bridges, the video conferencing, meeting rooms, gateways. We can do this stuff. It's a question also we need to think about why we are doing this stuff. So on the protocol side, we have documented everything. MSDN side, office protocols. We go in very, very depth of describing how the protocols are working, all the bits and pieces. And I very actually have noticed in a lot of cases, there is a question or there is a problem I come across. I jump into TechNet. TechNet doesn't have documentation. Well, there's a lot of stuff written on office protocols on MSDN. So I would definitely encourage you guys, go into MSDN. If you don't understand how this thing works and the Microsoft reps are too far away or they're not telling me how it works, go to MSDN. It's more than likely, if you ask me the question, I'm not going to start pinging the product guys yet. I'm just going to go by myself to MSDN and try to understand what else you're trying to get, right? MSDN should be the source of information. So session takeaways. I'll stop this before it starts buzzing. These are two ways to integrate, direct or via third party. There is no one-size-fits-all option. It really depends. Technically, there's a lot of capabilities. What you really need to concentrate on how this technology will be consumed by your users and what kind of capability you want to drive to them. So some of the updates, we will be running voice session tomorrow, giving away. We'll be running an architecture session today. We'll be doing all these great demos with a broadcast meeting and one of the Polycom 6-1000 device. Please come and join us on the session. Please complete your evaluation form because your feedback is very, very valuable to us. We are here to give information to you, not just something we believe it's important to, but also to make sure this is valuable. Please give us the feedback, and I'll open it for questions. All good? I'll give you a couple of, one more minute. No questions one, no questions two. Okay, solved. Thank you very much. Thanks.